Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Precious, precious Father. Hallelujah. Glorious King. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the more you believe about God, the more excited you get. Hallelujah. He's awesome. The sermon title tonight is called The Kinsman Redeemer. The Kinsman Redeemer. Redeemer. Amen and hallelujah. There is a great scene. There is a great scene in the Holy Scriptures that will soon take place. That will soon take place. An event that takes place not on earth, but in heaven. This event that takes place in heaven will, however, have everything to do with what will take place on the earth. The event I am talking about is the start of the tribulation period that will come upon the whole earth. Let's turn to this heavenly scene and see what the Apostle John saw in vision in Revelation chapter 5. Always like to start out with some easy scriptures. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I'm going to read from the New King James translation. Revelation 5. We'll read verses 1 through 7. Revelation 5, starting in verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals?" And no one in heaven, no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. Not only was there no one found to loose the seals of the scroll, but there was no one found, not in heaven, not on earth, and not under the earth, that is, in the realm of the dead, no one found that could even look at it. So I wept, John says. I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, or the manifold seven spirits of the Holy Spirit, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When people read a passage of Scripture such as this, often they are so concerned with the opening of the seals that they totally miss the message. That they totally miss the message that is being given. So, you start reading a book like the book of Revelation, with all the tails and the horns and the things and stuff going on and the elders and the beings here and angels over there. You get lost, kind of. into all the activity that's going on, and the tendency is to miss the real message that is going on. You know, what is the real message? Revelation 1 and verse 1 tells us what the message is. Revelation 1 and verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. All Scripture reveals something about Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the object and the central figure of all Scripture. Hallelujah. And you know, when you get lost in the detail, you miss the message. Turn over to Luke chapter 24. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 and verses 25 through 27. Luke 24, starting in verse 25. Then he said to them, Jesus speaking. Now, I'll just back up a little bit. What happened here was two disciples were walking along the road after the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus came alongside and decided he would walk with them. And here's what happened. He said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. You know, this strange fellow, rolls up beside you and starts telling you you're foolish. you're not believing. Everywhere you look, you're going to be asked to believe Jesus Christ. So here's a couple of disciples. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Isn't that a problem? We don't really believe in that part, of the Bible. We believe this and that and the other thing. But, I hear that. Since when do we get to choose what we believe? Hallelujah. And then people wonder why they don't know the Lord as good as they ought to. Amen. It's awesome. And verse 26 of Luke 24. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. When you read the scriptures and you miss Jesus, you have missed the message. Until we find the message about Jesus in the Scripture, we do not understand the Scripture. It's a simple thing, and an awesome one indeed. In the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, we are at God's throne, in his very throne room in heaven, in the fourth chapter of Revelation. So we know that he who is on the throne is God. He who is on the throne is God. We know that. Our Heavenly Father. But in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 5, our attention is directed to something else. Revelation 5 and verse 1. It says, And I saw in the right hand. The right hand means power. Something was in the power, the awesome power of God's hand. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. So we are directed to notice that God has in his hand a scroll written inside and on the back with these seven seals. Now to understand what is going on here and the significance of what we must be looking at, we must have expounded to us by Jesus the same as the disciples had it happen to them. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Jesus always wants to reveal himself to us. We must have Jesus expound what we're seeing in the heavenly vision for us to understand it and not interpreted by man. Not interpreted by man, but revealed by Jesus Christ himself. 2 Peter chapter 1, the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1 verses 20 and 21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Not of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see, we cannot interpret the Scriptures. All kinds of problems have came up and persist until this day because men have tried to interpret the Word of God. You know, and they wonder why it doesn't match up. They have problems here. They have to hide stuff. They can't tell people about this. So we see that man does not interpret the Holy Scriptures. How do we come to understand the Scriptures then? We let God himself give us the answer. God himself. Hallelujah. You know, I often like to say the last thing you need is a minister. You don't want nobody standing between you and God. God deals with his children direct. Meaning that the minister better be showing you from the Word of God what the Word of God says. God himself will give us the answer, and he does this how? Through his Word, the Bible. In other words, let the Bible interpret the Bible, not man. So let's start the journey then. We have seen this great heavenly vision of God the Father sitting upon his throne. There is a scroll in his right hand, written on the back and on the inside, sealed with seven seals. A great search is mounted, and no one is found worthy to open the seals and to look at the scroll. So we'll start our journey then, that we may receive the message of the event in Revelation chapter 5. And to that, we turn to the law. You know why? Colossians chapter 2 tells us why. We'll turn to the law. You know, to find out what is going on, Colossians 2, I'll read this from the Amplified Bible. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Colossians 2, 16 and 17 says, therefore let no one sit in judgment. Well, watch this. Therefore let no one sit in judgment on you in matters of food and drink, or with regard to a feast day, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. Such things, here it comes, such things are only the shadow. Such things are only the shadow. They are only the shadow of things that are to come. And they have only a symbolic value. But the reality, the substance, the solid fact of what is foreshadowed, the body of it, belongs to Jesus Christ. Let no one judge you on it. And how many people cling to the mere shadow of what was coming? Do not be satisfied with the shadow. All right, now, we turn to the Old Testament and we begin our journey in Leviticus chapter 25. The book of Leviticus chapter 25 Leviticus 25 verses 23 and 25 through 25. Leviticus 25, starting in verse 23, it says, "The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine." This is the Lord speaking. "For you are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession, you shall grant redemption of the land. If one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some of his possession, and if his redeeming relative comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what his brother sold." In short here, we see that there was provision in place for a person to redeem or buy back a possession if it had been sold or lost through debt. God put provision in there for that. And we know Adam lost everything. Our brother, our brother Adam lost it all. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 14. Genesis 3 and verse 14 says, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life.'" Now down to Genesis 3 and verse 17. "Then Adam said," "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life.'" In verse 18, "Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field." You see, Adam sold out to the devil. He had it all, and he sold out to the devil. Notice that all creation was cursed. God cursed the very ground. He cursed it all. Man lost dominion over all God had given him. Verse 25 of Leviticus chapter 25. It says, "If one of your brethren becomes poor." Did Adam become poor? Oh, yeah. "If one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some of his possessions, and if his redeeming relative comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what his brother sold." There's a reason they call Jesus the Redeemer. Leviticus 25 and verse 28. But if he is not able, that should say they. But if he is not able to have it restored to himself, then what was sold shall remain in the hand of him who bought it. Who's the God of this world? Amen. It will remain in the hand of him who bought it until the year of Jubilee, and in the year of Jubilee it shall be released, and he shall return to his possession. Notice there were requirements. In this short section of Scripture, there are requirements listed that had to be met if a person was going to be the Redeemer. Number one, the Redeemer had to be a kinsman, a relative. The Redeemer had to be a relative. Just anybody couldn't come by, you know, not like today, where, you know, somebody falls into hard times and, you know, any stranger can come by and buy your home and farm and everything else, and there you go, you got nothing left. No, it had to be a relative. You see, God always wanted the land to stay in the family, and he made laws concerning that. So number one, the Redeemer had to be a kinsman or a relative. Number two, the Redeemer had to be willing. No, you couldn't go over there and say, hey man, you know, I lost all my land there in a poker game last night, but you know, brother, you need to go buy it all back. No, the Redeemer had to be willing. And number three, the Redeemer had to be able. He had to be able. The Redeemer couldn't say, well, wow, my brother fell into a problem there, and I'd like to get that land back, so, you know, I'll go over here and borrow the money, and then I'll go over there and redeem it. No, couldn't do that. He had to be able in and of himself. All three conditions had to be met if the person was to be the Redeemer. Not just anyone could be the Redeemer. Now, if a Redeemer was found, then he had to find out what the conditions of the redemption were. This is how it worked in God's law. When a Redeemer was found, then that Redeemer had to go and find out what the conditions of the redemption were. At the time a possession was sold or lost through debt, a contract was made. A paper was written on one side and rolled up and sealed. The conditions of redemption were written on a scroll, rolled up, and sealed, then given to the priest at the temple. Another paper was left open, you see, on the inside and on the back. Another paper with the conditions of the redemption were written on another paper and left open, so the people could see the conditions that had to be met for the redemption. That's how it worked. And we have a great example of this, and we can take a look at it in Jeremiah chapter 32. Turn over to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. And we'll start in verse 6. Read down through verse 11 from the New King James Bible. Jeremiah 32, starting in verse 6. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, will come to you, saying, buy my field, which is in Anath, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, please buy my field that is in Anath, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle, who was in Anath, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver. And I signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses and weighed the money on the scales. So I took the purchased deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. Now in this scripture, we find that Jeremiah met all the conditions of the Redeemer. Number one, he was a relative. For it was Hanamel, the son of his uncle. So I think that might make him a cousin. But anyway, never mind. It doesn't matter. He was a relative. That's the important thing. He had to be a relative, and he was. Number two, he was willing to be the Redeemer. Nobody forced him. The opportunity came, and he willingly became the Redeemer. And number three, he was able to be the Redeemer. He had the silver to buy it. You know, he had the money, so he was able to be the Redeemer. Now let's turn back to the scene we first looked at and see how exciting it is when our Heavenly Father gives us the interpretation from His Word, when Jesus Christ expounds the Scripture to us, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5, starting in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 4. This will start to become very clear, hallelujah, by the power of His Spirit, praise God, and His Word, hallelujah. Revelation 5, starting in verse 1, says, "And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals." I mean, this thing was sealed. Not just one, there were 7. "Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much. I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll. A great search is mounted in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and no Redeemer is found. So John weeps." You see, John, being a Jew, knew what he was looking at. No Redeemer is found. Now remember the 3 conditions that had to be met, and look at what happens next in Revelation 5 and verse 5. It says, "But one of the elders of the great heavenly Sanhedrin," the Jewish council, that was on the earth. You see, a shadow, only a shadow of what's in heaven. "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals.'" John, a Jew, knew what he was looking at. In verse 4, he weeps because no Redeemer is found. When suddenly he hears that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, a kinsman, John was a Jew. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, a kinsman, the root of David, has prevailed, is able to loose its seals. Revelation 5 and verse 6. John speaking. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Now no doubt remains. No doubt remains. John looks up to see the Lion of the tribe of Judah and sees a lamb as though it had been slain, giving clear identification. Clear identification and revealing the identity of the Redeemer. The identity of the Redeemer is given clearly to John, and it is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Two of the three conditions are met. He is our kinsman. Our brother, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. You know, you wonder why terms are used in the Bible, in God's Word. We need to dig in, hallelujah, and find out, and God will show us. You see, he is our kinsman. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, he is called. And he has prevailed and is able to loose the seven seals because he is also Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. The Son of Man and the Son of God. Revelation 5 and verse 7. One more condition needed to be met. One more. And this is a big one. Because when it comes to the things of God, the children often doubt him. They say, you know he can heal me, but I don't know if he wants to. I know he wants to do, he can do good things, God can, but I don't know if he wants to do them for me. One more condition had to be met, and that is given in verse 7 of Revelation chapter 5. Then he, the Lamb who had been slain, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat upon the throne. Notice that Jesus came and took the scroll. God the Father did not hand it to him. No, Jesus in the heavenly vision, hallelujah, he walks up to the Father, glory to God, who had the scroll in his right hand, the hand of his power, and he takes the scroll willingly. Amen. Jesus Christ took the scroll out of the hand of him who sat upon the throne, showing that he was absolutely willing. Hallelujah. Notice all of this is about Jesus Christ redeeming the rest of creation. The rest of creation. You know, it's not all redeemed yet. This is about Jesus Christ redeeming the rest of creation during the great tribulation that will soon come upon the whole earth. Notice I said the rest of creation, for we have already been redeemed. Hallelujah. We have been redeemed by our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. See, you have to put the Word of God together. Hallelujah. It's here a little and there a little, line upon line. Galatians chapter 3, Galatians 3, and verses 13 and 14. This will be from the New King James. Galatians 3, starting in verse 13, says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Hallelujah. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also, that we may also be glorified. Hallelujah. Together with him. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. As the Father knows me, Jesus says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep, and the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hallelujah! I am he, Jesus says. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Glory to the King of Kings and our great Redeemer. Amen. Hallelujah. Those are all scriptures, by the way. Amen and hallelujah. He is our great Redeemer. Just look at how significant and how many things has gone on in the heavenly sphere that we were unaware of. There are more conditions that Jesus Christ has met throughout the entirety of Scripture that there can be absolutely no mistaking who he is. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of mankind. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has redeemed us by meeting all three requirements of the Redeemer. Hebrews 2 and verse 17. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17 says, Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. He is our kinsman. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, He has met all the conditions, you see. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. For he made him, God made Jesus, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, he was able. He was without sin. John chapter 10, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. He says, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. You see, Jesus had to have the power to lay down his own life. A lot of people get the idea that God said, Jesus, go, and he was just being obedient. No, no. He was being believing. Believing means you have the power to choose. And look what our awesome, wonderful brother did. He says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And yes, Jesus was willing. He was willing. Abel and our brother. My God, what beauty. What glory. One can only imagine what John actually saw. Mankind has already been redeemed. The rest is yet to come, and very soon. All anyone has to do is to receive Jesus Christ as their redeemer by believing in him. In conclusion, or close to it, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Ain't he great? Hallelujah. While you're turning over there to 1 Peter chapter 1, just think of the people, of our relatives, of other believers who have went on before us. They know these things now. You think there's rejoicing going on in heaven? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They are gathered around the Redeemer of mankind. Therefore, having such great cloud of witnesses, oh, boy, let us lay aside every weight and run the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the Redeemer of mankind. Hallelujah. You know, we need not sorrow like those with no hope. Hallelujah, I can't hardly wait to get there. But we have some work to do for the Lord, don't we? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 21. Knowing, you know, people need to know this. You know, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. For your aimless conduct received how? Oh, boy. Received by the tradition from your fathers. Traditions are good? Okay. Are they? Well, anyway, we better not get into that. That's another sermon. Hallelujah. knowing that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things like gold and silver from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you and me, through him, believe in God, meaning us. He was manifest in these last times for us, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Hallelujah. And one more, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, because I made mention that it's not over yet. We are only the first to be redeemed. The rest of creation needs to be redeemed yet, and will be. And that's why it says in James 1 and verse 18, it says this: of his own will, you see, God decided. God willed it. Of his own will, he brought us forth. How? By the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Yes, amen, Jesus is our Redeemer. He stepped down from glory that he might gather together his brethren in himself, that where he is, we may be also, and thus be with our Lord forever. Amen. Because he is the kinsman redeemer. Is it any wonder that all things are possible to them that believe? Amen.